Today's topic is justice, beauty and giving to relatives.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سورة النحل verse 90. اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. Indeed, Allah enjoins justice and beauty and giving to relatives, and He forbids indecency and evil and injustice. He advises you so that you may take heed. This verse has been ranked by the commentators as one of the most comprehensive verses of the Quran. We find that the famous scholar Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu anh accepted Islam when he heard these verses. He said, "When I heard these verses, Iman entered my heart." And Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah included these verses in the Friday sermon. And it's really ironical, and inshallah, as we discuss these verses, we'll discover the depth and the profundity of thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down before us. And it's tragic that Muslims all over the world hear this in the Friday sermon, but they don't understand Arabic, and even those who do understand Arabic would never think of applying these verses to their daily lives. So this verse, when you listen to it, notice or think to yourself, the importance of this verse is such that it has been called amongst the most comprehensive, the most succinct verses of the Quran. We find that in this verse, Allah commands us to do three things, and He tells us to abstain from three things. Do three, leave off doing three. So what are the do's? First, I would like to give you a very brief explanation of the verse, and then inshallah we'll discuss it in depth. The first do is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah enjoins justice. This is actually rather an unusual style of command in the Quran. Generally, the imperative is given. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish salah. آتُ الزَّكَاةِ, pay zakah. Here we find a regal style. Allah, مَلِكُ الْمُلُوكِ, the monarch of kingship, is saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ. I remember hearing a scholar, and he once said something really interesting. He said that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Himself is always important. Sometimes Allah speaks of Himself in the first person, and that creates a very intimate feeling. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my slaves ask you about me, tell them I am near. So it makes you feel like Allah is right there with you. Sometimes Allah uses the royal we. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ. We have revealed this remembrance upon you. And sometimes we find Allah speaks of Himself in the third person, and that has a very regal impact. This is Allah's command. It's not my command, it's not your command, Allah's command. So what is the first command? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah enjoins adl. Adl is equality, justice, to give each person his right. Remember, this verse does not refer or does not apply to judges giving verdicts in their courts. There's one application, of course, but not that we read this verse and we think judges are supposed to be just and governments are supposed to be just. Each person needs to think of himself. This is what Iqbal's father said. If you remember, read the Quran as if it is being recited to you, as if it is being revealed to you. So the first question is that of adl. And this applies to every human being. We have to fulfill everyone's rights upon us, irrespective of whether the other person is powerful or weak, rich or poor, related or a stranger, our social superior or maybe our subordinate. You will find that there are people who might be social climbers, and they are so cruel to their servants because the servants cannot do anything in return. The servants can't take them to court. So adl is to give everyone his right. And adl is the foundation of any peaceful society. To give each person his right, I mean, that seems like a utopian dream. Adl breeds peace. What's the second do? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. The word ihsan is derived from the letters husn, and husn, as you all know, means beauty. So this is to give someone beyond his right. Adl is to give someone exactly what he merited, what he deserved. But ihsan would be like bonus marks. To give someone more than what he deserved, which is what Allah does with us. And this would be justice tempered with mercy. And not just exact, not just that you're giving more to others. Ihsan, another connotation that it carries is that you're content with less for yourself because you're giving more to others. And this is expressed beautifully in the Quran. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You cannot attain the peak of goodness till you spend from that which you love. And one scholar said most beautifully, تَصَدَّقْتُ بِإِرْدِي. I give my ego as sadaqah. I give it away. In other words, if anyone abuses me, hurts me, wounds me, I will not retaliate. And this is ihsan, to treat people beautifully. And this is a level beyond adl, to do it gracefully and to do it with beauty. The third and final command is وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, and to give to the relatives. Now this is really interesting, and inshallah we will discuss this in detail, why of all the recipients Allah has singled out relatives. To give to relatives what you want for yourself, to feel about relatives the way you feel about yourself, to give them their rights, to be there for them, not just about our needs, about their needs as well. Then Allah comes to the three don'ts. What are the three don'ts? وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. He forbids indecency, he forbids evil, and he forbids injustice. Al-fahsha is a word that needs to be understood. We think of fahsha and we think of acts like adultery. Fahsha actually means any open indecency, something which is condemned by everyone. This is something that you're ashamed of. This is a shameful deed, a shameful word maybe that you've uttered. Foul language, shouting, yelling, misbehavior, inappropriate behavior. This is all called fahsha. And the second is the word munkar. Munkar is the opposite of ma'roof. Do you remember what ma'roof is? Ma'roof is everything that is socially acceptable and right. Not that you're going by society's norms, but that these are generally recognized acts of kindness, like philanthropy and social welfare. The whole world will say that these are good acts, regardless of whatever your religion or creed is. So munkar is the opposite of ma'roof. Munkar would be all forms of evil. You know, acts like murder, acts like theft, acts like cheating someone, acts of dishonesty, of treachery, of betrayal, lies. All of these come under munkar because they're universally condemned. And finally, we have al-baghi. Al-baghi is a word that we don't often come across. It's a very important word. Baghi means to exceed the limits, to go beyond what is right. And baghi is generally translated as injustice. This is when you cheat someone of their rights, you usurp someone's rights, you usurp someone's wealth, you use your power and authority unfairly to harm someone. And baghi is the opposite of adl. Now, how does Allah conclude the verse? Ya'izukum. He advises you. What a beautiful narrative. Allah begins by saying Allah commands, and He ends by saying Ya'izukum. He softens it, that this is for your good. You know, when someone talks about good advice, no matter how unfair or no matter how harsh that good advice might seem, you know in your heart of hearts that if you follow it, it's actually going to benefit you. So this is a beautiful word for Allah to use here. Ya'izukum. He is advising you. Why? So you can go home and forget. La'allakum tadhakkaroon. So that you take heed. So that you start acting upon it. Now this was a very broad outline of the verse. Now let's look at the verse in detail. Let's look at the first command. Inna Allaha ya'muru bil adli. Adl also carries within it a connotation of i'tidal. I'tidal, another Arabic word, means moderation. To be balanced in everything that you do. And if you remember, i'tidal is the characteristic of the Muslim ummah. كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We made you the moderate nation. We were not supposed to be terrorists or extremists. We were supposed to be moderate people, but moderate by Allah's definition, not people's. And this is what adl is, that you're not exceeding the limit, you're not giving less than what you are required to give, you're giving the exact amount, right on the middle path, on Siratul Mustaqim. Now, adl is a word that carries vast implications, and it applies to every aspect of our life. And let's look at it briefly so that we can understand if this were to be the foundation of our behavior, I mean the whole face of the ummah would change completely. Because when there is no adl, there is chaos, there is resentment, discontentment and unhappiness as we see around us. All around people are complaining. Wives are complaining about the husbands. Husbands are complaining about the wives. Children complaining about the parents and vice versa. Everyone's unhappy. Why? There is no adl. Neither is there justice and nor is there any moderation. Now, to start with our creed, how can we do or adopt adl in our creed? How can we do adl with Allah? Adl with Allah is that you believe in Him, you obey Him, you give Him His right, and if you give Him less than His right, He's asked you to pray 5 times a day. If we cheat on that, then that's an opposite of adl. But at the same time, we remember the rights of people. If you go back to the beginning of Al-Baqarah, it's a combination of huququllah and huququl ibad. يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ They establish salah, but they also share with people. And an example of a violation of adl would be, you have visitors at your house, but you're just not getting off the prayer mat. Long, lengthy prayers, one nafal after another, that's not adl. And the other extreme, that because your visitors are sitting there, you're too polite to get up and pray, so you're not giving Allah His right. Adl is that you get up and pray your prayers and then come and sit down with them. This is an example of adl, how you stay on the middle path. Then, how do we do adl with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember, is part of iman. Obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah is the means of gaining Allah's love. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni. Tell them, if you love Allah, then you will follow me. But for any Muslim to claim that since I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so passionately, I don't need to obey Allah, that's against adl. And that's a lie and a mockery. For any Muslim to claim that I love him so much, that I love him more than Allah, na'uzu billah, or he is suspended between Allah and the rest of mankind, this is against adl. Because adl means that you're not exaggerating and you're not debasing. How else do we do adl? Now let's look, this was our relationship with Allah and with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do we do adl in our relationships with people? What about our conduct? Now smiling is a sunnah, but to smile constantly like a Cheshire cat, you know, it's a funeral but you can't stop smiling, you can't stop giggling, that's against adl. In the same way, you're supposed to be serious when the occasion requires it, but to go around with a mournful face constantly weeping for the fear of God in front of people, that's also against adl. Remember, adl means moderation. And this is found in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you have adl with your emotions. You know, we are such emotional people. It's like we're on a roller coaster. We either love someone or hate someone. There's no in between. And if you remember, there's a very famous saying that don't love anyone really intensely because maybe one day he becomes your enemy. And don't hate anyone too passionately, maybe one day he'll become your friend. And this is what happens in relationships, whether it's family relationships or relationships with people and friends. So the Muslim is someone who is balanced and calm. Not a robot, not a detached person who doesn't feel anything, very caring, very warm. But the only emotion in which the only love which knows no bounds is love of Allah. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَّدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ There is no bounds in your love for Allah. But when it comes to everyone else, you're supposed to keep a hold over your emotions. Your love for anyone, you know, sometimes mothers will stop praying after having children. That my children start crying and it upsets me too much. That's not adl. Adl is that you take care of your children, give them their rights, but don't cheat Allah of His right. Then sometimes mothers discriminate between children. You know, giving all the attention to one child, ignoring the other child. And this obviously breeds resentment and hatred amongst each other. So this is all against Adl. Now, why is Adl the first command? Because Adl is the toughest discipline of all. It's the most difficult thing to do, to walk the middle path. Guyton expresses it very beautifully when he says, Islam describes itself as the middle way. This might sound like a recipe for avoiding commitment rather than choice. It is in fact the opposite. A stern discipline comparable to that of the helmsman of a sailing ship as he maintains his course through the turbulence of conflicting currents. It is only too easy to find rest in one extreme or another, but it is very difficult to steer a course between them, giving to each its due. The middle way requires the skill of the tightrope walker who can never relax lest he fall either to the right or to the left. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Now, sometimes what happens is when you start turning towards Allah and you're starting to read the Quran, people will take unfair advantage of you, claiming that since you're religious, you're supposed to turn the other cheek no matter what they do to you. That's also the opposite of Adl. They will expect you to calmly suffer whatever injustices they're doing to you. Now, what does Islam teach us about that? Adl means that you give each person their right. You don't take advantage of the other person's religious nature. That since she is religious, this demands that she should forgive whatever I do to her. And this is what people do in our society today. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also taught us that the mu'min is not stung from the same hole twice. Islam is not about turning the other cheek. And sabr does not in any way mean that you keep on putting yourself in that situation where people can come and bully you around. The most important aspect of understanding that adl is moderation is that it helps us to understand the concept of the hereafter. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, yes, but He is also Al-Adil, Al-Adl, the just. We like to focus on one side of the picture. No, He's Ghafoor Rahim, end of story. And that means I can sin, I can lie, I can cheat, I don't have to pray. Hey, He's Ghafoor Rahim. And if He isn't, why did He say He was? Adl is nothing like that. Adl means you look at both sides of the picture. Yes, He is Ghafoor Rahim, but for those who merit His Rahmah, who merit His mercy. In fact, you will find that the whole point of hell being created is also an aspect of Adl. This is something people find very hard to accept. Why did Allah create hell? Why is Allah going to punish people? Doesn't He love us? Isn't He Rabbul Alameen? Yes, He is. But if you think about it, paradise and hell are both part of His Adl. What is Adl? That you give to the worker his reward, and the one who's not worked, the one who did nothing, he should be punished. This is part of Adl. This is something we declare in the world, that the criminal should be punished and the innocent person should be rewarded. But when it comes to the hereafter, suddenly our vision becomes blurred and we start saying things like, that's not fair, that's very harsh, we can't accept that. Our attitude is we should be allowed to do everything, but still we should get Jannah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah commands. Allah enjoins justice. And the opposite of عَدْل is ظُلْم. And we've discussed the definition of ظُلْم many times. ظُلْم is when you put something in its wrong place. Islam is a religion of peace, order and harmony. It's not a chaotic religion. It's a religion of complete discipline and complete calmness. Have you ever, you know, when you walk into a really neat and beautifully arranged house, you feel good just looking at it. And you look at the arrangement and how every corner is properly furnished, makes you feel good. And you walk into a room that's a total mess and that's full of clutter and rubbish, and it disturbs you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. This is the comparison between Adl and Zulm. Zulm, chaos, a mess. Everyone doing what he's not supposed to be doing. Adl, a society where everyone knows his own place, everyone knows what he is supposed to be doing. This is the nature of Islam. What comes after Adl? Do we stop there? No. Wal Ihsan. Ihsan is the highest dimension of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by Jibreel alayhi salam, what is Ihsan? And he said, An ta'buda Allaha ka annaka tarahu. That you worship Allah as if you can see Him. فَإِلَّمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ. But if you can't see Him, فإنه يراك, he can see you. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us so well. Have you ever noticed, you know, sometimes you'll just be lying languidly, for instance, in your house, and suddenly an unexpected guest walks in, instantly you sit up alert, and you try and pretend as if you've been sitting like that the whole morning. People will be eating their food any which way, and suddenly they realize that the video cameras, you know, zoomed in on them, and immediately they start eating differently. This is human nature. We realize someone's watching us, and we become alert. We realize someone's watching us, we start doing whatever we were doing in a better way. And this is what ihsan is all about. Being aware that Allah is watching us every moment of the day and night. Like the scholar who said, if you really want to sin, find a place where Allah can't see you. That's taqwa. Knowing that Allah is watching me. Being ashamed to sin before Allah. Just as we're ashamed to say something inappropriate before, for instance, our parents. There are certain words you would not dream of uttering before your father. Certain actions we would not want to do before anyone we respect or revere or fear for that matter. So ihsan is recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us all the time. And if you remember, this is a concept that we've done before in the purpose of life. Why did Allah create us? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That He may test you which of you is most beautiful in deeds. حُسْن. And this would be everything. حُسْن in our salah. What would حُسْن in our salah be? That our ruku, our sajda, our qiyam, all is focused, all is calm, all is attentive, not racing through salah like the hypocrite. What would beauty in wuzu be? That each limb is wet the way it should be. What would ihsan with people be? That if someone's yelling at you, you don't yell back. You control your temper. And this is what is found in Surah Dahr. Allah describes the muhsineen and Allah says, those who feed the needy and the poor and the orphan and the captive. And what do they say? إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We only feed you for the sake of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want any recompense from you. We don't even want thanks from you. This is ihsan. To do for people without wanting anything in return. Without expecting anything in return. Everyone pretends, oh please don't thank me. But you're mortally offended if they don't even thank you. And you make a mental vow, I'll never do this for her again. That's not ihsan. Ihsan is that each deed of yours is as beautiful as it would be if people were watching you, but the intention is purely for Allah. And then you can have ihsan to your servants. And that's a very important aspect of ihsan. Not that you're just to them, but you're harsh or cold with them. Our problem is we do ihsan with people that we know will reciprocate in some way or the other. For instance, you might do ihsan with your social superiors. We might do ihsan with those of our relatives whom we know will repay us in some way or the other. How often have we done ihsan with our servants? How often have we done ihsan with some stranger? Someone that maybe we never get to see again. The attitude is, oh, he doesn't know me, so it's okay, I can be as rude as I like. That's not ihsan. Ihsan is to do it and do it for Allah. Now, the third command, the third do is really interesting. إِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Giving to the relatives. Now Allah could have said salah over here. Allah commands justice and beauty and salah. He could have talked about fasting. He could have talked about reading the Quran. But no. Out of all the numerous acts of goodness, He focuses on one which happens to be amongst the most difficult ones. Ita idil qurba, giving to relatives. Because if you give to strangers, they will thank you, they will praise you. But if you give to relatives, they will sometimes not reciprocate, sometimes return your kindness with cruelty, sometimes abuse you to your face. And this is what breeds discord between the nation. See, the ummah is made up of families. So each family relationship represents the ummah's relationship. One of the reasons that the ummah is so divided is because the families are divided. Why are the families divided? If you keep on analyzing it, you will discover that homes are divided, homes are unhappy. Unhappy parents, unhappy children, they grow up, they take their revenge on other members of the family. and the vicious circle just widens and widens. So Allah says, إِيْتَا إِذِ الْقُرْبَى, give to your relatives. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say any other thing about relatives. Allah could have said, for instance, forgiving your relatives. Allah says, give to them. Why? The reason for this is that our relatives are so close to us that you know exactly what's happening in their homes. And this is why it becomes particularly unbearable. One relative is a multimillionaire, squandering his money on one luxury after another. The other starving, doesn't have enough money to pay for the child's medication. Now the poor one knows that the rich one is having a ball. So don't you think he'll feel bitter? That if he had that much money, couldn't he have given a little to me? See, Allah knows human nature very well. He's our creator. And relatives always have expectations from each other. That's why they're always so interested in each other. They're always interested in finding out about the cost of their clothes, you know, down to what provisions are stocked in the fridge. All this is really important for relatives to find out about each other. Why? The reason is that they're comparing it to their own standard of living. And if, God forbid, one relative's standard of living is higher, especially amongst brothers, then, you know, the wives just cannot bear it. They're having nervous breakdowns. Why is his house bigger than ours? Why does he have a new car when we don't? Ita idil qurba. We expect things from our relatives, like it or not, admit it or not. And each expectation can result in heartbreak. When you expect something from someone and you don't get it, you're really hurt. You know, people go around saying things like, I didn't expect this from her. So remember, when it's relatives, blood is thicker than water. And what happens is, people expect things from their relatives. When they're disappointed, then they turn vicious. And then the family breaks up. And once the family breaks up, it results in major repercussions for the entire ummah. So Allah says, إِيْتَا إِذِ الْقُرْبَى, give to the relatives. Do you know what giving means? It's not just financial giving. Not that you see your relatives once a year and you come loaded with expensive gifts and you think smugly, well, I've done my duty by them. Ita'i is giving them your time, giving them your attention, giving them your love, compassion, sympathy, sharing with them. And that's something people nowadays find very difficult to do. You have noticed how our friends always outnumber our relatives. The relatives that we're close to, that is. Because we can pick and choose our friends, we can't pick and choose our relatives. So instead what we do is we meet them once a year. Or maybe not even that. Children don't even know about their more distant relatives. Whose fault is this? The parents. إِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى means that you are close to your family. And that you share your time with them. You are there for them. If you go to hospitals and if you look at the sick children in the hospitals, and just look at the number of relatives who are there with the parents at that time, at that unbearable moment. Very few. There are families where the whole family is there as a solid support. But there are families where it's just the mother or it's just the father. And no one bothers to go and share the duty of taking care of that sick child with the parents. It's taken for granted. They're the parents. They can do it. And this is actually something that's against Islamic tradition. And this is our strongest, or rather used to be our strongest point, our family system. Our family network used to be very strong. And this is something that our enemies could not take away from us, but sadly we ourselves are drifting away from it. Ita idil qurba, give to your relatives. Allah doesn't say take, He says give. Because people will never be content with money. You know, the attitude is, well, I give them expensive gifts, what more do they want from me? That's not what people want. They want your love. They want your tenderness. They want your compassion. They want you to be there for them. And this is part of Ita idil qurba, giving to your relatives. Do you remember what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? Khayrukum li ahlihi, khayrukum li ahlihi. The best of you is the one who is the best to his family. Wa ana khayrukum li ahli, and I am the best of you to my family. And sadly, sometimes when people become religious, they become so religious that they have no time for their families. This is again a negation of adl. And people blame religion for it. It's not religion's fault. Look at Islam. In all the talks that we've discussed, a constantly recurring theme has been حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ. People of deen are people who care about others. They're not detached robots. And إِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى has been highlighted above other aspects of goodness because this is a very difficult thing to do. And this is a lifelong struggle. Have you noticed sometimes when a girl's going through problems in her marriage or she's going through problems with her in-laws? What sort of advice are people giving her? Reckless advice. Just don't take it. Just stand up for your rights. You know, give it to them. Leave them if need be. They're not going to be there for this girl to help her support her children on her own. They're not going to be there for her when in a moment of rashness she decides to leave. This is just, you know, some reckless advice which they're giving. No one, very few people will actually say, are you sure you cannot bear this any longer? Because Allah says in the Quran, لَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. The one who is patient, the one who forgives, this is amongst the greatest deeds. عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Allah praises it. And we condemn it. And we call it weakness and cowardice. إِتَى إِذِ الْقُرْبَى. Give to your relatives. And do it for Allah. The other term that we use for this, sila rahmi. Do you know what sila comes from? It's an Arabic word from wasal. Wasal means to connect, to join. That you're close to your family. And that will give you a fairly good indication of any person, how close are they to their relatives. And the closer the relatives, the greater the rights. Now three things, all were linked. Adl, ihsan, and ita'i dhil qurba. What comes next? What's forbidden?